Last week we completed the second Chumash in the Torah, which is called Sefer Shmos, but it's also called Sefer HaGeula, the Book of Redemption. And the final verse in the Book of Redemption is Ki Anan Adonai Al HaMishkan Yomam Ve'esh Ki Alaylabo Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael B'chol Maseihem. The cloud of Hashem was on the Mishkan during the day and a pillar of fire at night in the eyes of the entire household of Yisrael in all of their journeys. Why is this the completion? Because the Ramban explains that the reason that all of the parshios of the Mishkan are contained in the Book of Redemption and not as a beginning to the Book of the Toras Kohanim, the laws of the Kohanim and the sacrifices, where it may be seen to be more proper to put it, why is this in the Book of Redemption? The Ramban explains that the full redemption was only achieved when the Jewish people realized their full potential. Their full potential was going back to the high level that our forefathers reached, where God's presence resided on their tents constantly. And therefore, the full redemption was after we received the Torah continued on with us. God's presence and His revelation of the Torah continued on with us in the Mishkan on a regular basis, and the cloud of Hashem, meaning God's presence, resided amongst us consistently and constantly, like it was in the time of the Avos. Then we returned to our initial greatness, then we were redeemed. The Vilna Gaon adds to this another dimension. He says like this, that when we left Egypt, there was a cloud of glory that accompanied us during the day and a pillar of fire at night. He said at that time the cloud and the pillar were only visible prophetically. Only prophets could see it. A regular person didn't see it. It wasn't something you could see with the naked eye. It was something you could perceive prophetically. And it didn't remain after the splitting of the Red Sea. We don't find that the cloud and the pillar continued on. After the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu, God said He was going to send an angel to be an intermediary between Him and the Jewish people, and Moshe begged God not to do that. And he begged God the following. He said, Im no motzoshi chein ve'enecho Adonai yelech no Adonai bikirbeinu ki am she'orefu v'solachtu lavoneinu chatoseinu chaltonu. Moshe begged God, please, don't put us in the hands of an angel. You go with us directly. Continue going with us directly. And God answered Moshe Rabbeinu in the affirmative. And He said to him, Vayomer, Hinei Anochi Koresh Bris, Neged Kol Amcha Asen Niflos, Asher Lo Nivru'u Bechol Ha'aretz Vechol Hagoyim. I'm going to make a covenant with you, and I'm going to make miracles in the eyes of your nation that were never seen by any other nation. What is that? The Ro'ah Kol Ha'am Asher Atah B'Kirbo. The nation that you are amongst will see Esmaseh Hashem Ki Norahu Asher Ani Osemo. They'll see this tremendously awesome thing I'm going to do. And the Chachamim say, Rashi brings it down, what was this awesome thing? That God's presence would remain directly with the Jewish people and would be visible, not only to the Jews, even to Goyim, on a constant basis as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. After Moshe's death, Yoshua took over, and then God Taka sent an angel. But during the 40 years in the desert, the cloud returned, and now it was not only visible to prophets, it was visible with the naked eye. And not only did Jews see it, Goyim saw it. And the pillar of fire at night. And it was a constant testimony that God's presence dwelt amongst the Jewish people. And therefore, this is the culmination of redemption, where the Jewish people are redeemed and God becomes our God, not only in practice, but you could see it was visible. That was the ultimate level of redemption, where God's presence was ki anan Hashem el Mishkan Yoma, the Eish ki alay lebo le'enei kol Beis Yisrael, in the eyes of all the Jewish people, b'chol maseihem. And that's why later on, after the sin of the spies, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to this same idea. He says, he begs for forgiveness for the Jewish people. So he says, the Amru al Yoshev Haaretz Hazos Shamu Ki Ato Adonai Bekerav Am Hazeh. The whole world heard that God dwells amongst the Jewish people. Asher Ayin Ba'ayin, eye to eye, Nira Ato Hashem, you're seen amongst them. The Anoncha Omed Alehim, your cloud descends upon them. Uva'amud Anon Atoholech Lifneim Yomon V'amud Eish Laila. You can see it eye to eye. It's visible, God's presence amongst the Jewish people. And now they're going to say that God doesn't have the power to bring them into Eretz Israel. He's going to kill them in the desert, and it's going to be terrible Chilul Hashem. Yes?
I think I read somewhere that the actual cloud was real, so to protect the Bnei Israel from the extreme heat of the sun in the desert.
Right. The Anan.
At night, right. To prevent them from getting too cold.
Right. 100%. It served those purposes too. But its main purpose, all of those things could have been done, not visibly. But the visible cloud and the pillar of fire was a sign that that's God's presence, and God's presence obviously protected them also. And we say in the future, we're hoping that that situation will return. Ke'ayin da'ayin, yiru b'shuv Hashem tziyot. Eye to eye, meaning visibly, we'll be able to see when God returns and redeems us, and his presence will be visible again amongst us. Okay. So that is the greatness of Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael. This was something that happened in the eyes of the entire Jewish people. And that's how we end the book of redemption. Now it's interesting, and here's where I start, okay, that there is a parallel here to something else, that it also says La'enei Kol Yisrael, and is the end of another book of the Torah. The final book of the Torah, Devarim, ends also La'enei Kol Yisrael. Okay, in the eyes of the entire Jewish people. What is that referring to? The Chol Ayada Chazakah, all the strong hand, right, that Moshe Rabbeinu did, La'enei Kol Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's strong-handed thing that he did? He broke the Luchos. Came down from Har Sinai, found the Jewish people worshipping the golden calf, and he destroyed the Luchos. Now it's not just coincidental that that also says La'enei Kol Yisrael. He did it in the eyes of the entire Jewish people. He broke the Luchos in the eyes of the Jewish people, and here it says that God's cloud was visible to the eyes of the whole Jewish people. What's the connection? So I found a Zohar. Says there is something very interesting in Parshas Bechukosai, where it speaks about what the world would be like if everybody kept the Torah to its most intense degree. In Bechukosai Teleichu V'yas Mitzvosai Tishmru V'asisem Mosam V'nosaki Gishmeichem Be'itom, I'll give you your rains in their proper time, and you'll have tremendous success with your crops, and I'll give peace in the land, right, and people will lie down and not be afraid, and there won't be any wild animals, and there won't be any wars, and you'll and then it says V'nosati mishkani v'solchachem, I'll put my mishkan, my seemingly my Beis HaMikdash amongst you, v'losig al nafshi eschem, and I won't be disgusted with you. Okay, the commentaries already say, sounds crazy. I'll put my mishkan, all these great things, and what's going to be, I won't be disgusted with you. That's great mila. We won't be disgusted. We're saying all these tremendous positive things, and then we sneak in, and I won't be disgusted with you. We'll see in 1 second how I pitch in. Salachti, so I'll walk amongst you, meaning I'll be visible, not as a person, but you'll see the apparitions of my presence. Vayishin lachem lelokim, and I'll be your God. The atem to liliam. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeishi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'os Lehem Avadim. I'm the God who took you out of Egypt where you were slaves. Va'eshber Motos Ulchem Va'oleich Eschem Komi. I'll make you walk straight up. Meaning this is again the ultimate redemption. that high level of God's presence constantly amongst the Jewish people and visible. However, the Zohar says that even though the context of these psukim is the ultimate future perfect world, Yemos HaMashiach, it hints to Golus also. And when it says, V'nasati mishkoni b'sochechem, v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, it means the following. That even in Golus, even when we're in exile, God will put his mishkan amongst us. Now that doesn't mean the Beis HaMikdash, because it would have said, V'nasati mikdoshi b'sochechem. The word mishkan is very closely connected to the word mashkon, a surety, a security. God will give us a security in Golus that one day he's going to return to us. And the Zohar brings a mashal that if somebody promises to live together with somebody else, okay, a friend is going to live with his friend, but at this point he's not ready to move in, so he puts his bed in the apartment of the other person as a security that I'm going to follow suit. Don't worry, I'll be there. I move my furniture in. He moves his furniture in as a sign that he's going to follow. He's not ready yet to move in, but his furniture's there, so he's gonna move in. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to leave my Shekhinah, my divine presence, maybe not visible to you, but I'm going to leave it amongst you, even in Golus. V'losigal nafshi eschem. Now it makes sense. I'm not going to be disgusted with you even in Golus, and that's what it says. In the end of the Tochacha, when it speaks about all the terrible punishments that will have in Golus, it says, V'afgam zos bios b'eretz oyveihem. However, even when they're in the land of their enemy, they're in Golus. Lo ma'astim, I don't hate them. V'lo ga'altim, I'm not disgusted with them. L'chalosim, I'm not interested in destroying them. L'hofer brishi itam, or to negate my covenant with them, just the opposite. All of that is a remedial effort to bring them back. I'm not disgusted with them. I'm not punishing them because I don't like them. I'm trying to give them the ability to correct what was wrong and to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So all of this is corrective, remedial measures. So God leaves us a mashkon. He leaves us a security that he remains with us. He's not disgusted with us. And he will one day redeem us. So we have this idea that God leaves his presence amongst us, even in Golus. Imo Anochi Mitzara. We went into Golus, God went with us. Don't see his presence, but you can perceive his presence, which we'll get to in a second. And that is a mashkon that God gave us. God gave us a security that one day he will redeem us. That's the Zohar. Now let's add to that another block, next building block of this puzzle. In the beginning of Pekudei, Rashi brings down Eile Pekudei HaMishkan Mishkan HaEdus, mentions Mishkan twice, to hint to me that God took two securities from us, two Bate Mikdash that he destroyed as security that will return to him. He gave us a security that even though he sent us into Golus, like the Zohar says, he gave us the security of his presence amongst us. But he took security from us. And those securities are the two Beit HaMikdash that were destroyed. The idea being that even when God destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, it wasn't to vent his anger against us, because then he should have destroyed us. It's just the opposite. He vented his anger against wooden stones in order to preserve us, meaning not that God had to get his temper out and he therefore had something else to do it on instead of us. What it means is that because we had a Beis HaMikdash which could be destroyed, which would shock us into rethinking our whole path in history and therefore making it possible for us to return, then God would have had to destroy us. But since he had the Beis HaMikdash to destroy, which could put us back on the right path over a period of Golus and self retrospection and inspection, right, and a long kapara with all the tzaras of Golus, that made it possible that God didn't have to destroy us, but he gave us a chance to correct what was wrong. So he took two securities from us by destroying the Beis HaMikdash that we would return. So God gave us a security and he took securities from us. Therefore, we can feel God's presence in two ways. We can feel it visibly by seeing God there when we're redeemed, or, unfortunately, when God's visible presence isn't there, we can sense it visibly a different way, by seeing the churban, by seeing that when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, it reminded us that you can't have that close relationship with God unless you have a Torah, and if you're going to go against the Torah, you're destroying that relationship. So the shviras haluchos was la'enei kol Yisrael. It was in the eyes of the entire Jewish people, just like the goal is that God's presence should be seen visibly in a positive way. When we don't deserve that, then it's seen, but in a negative way. It's seen because of the destruction. Because God destroyed the luchos. Moshe destroyed the luchos that the Jewish people shouldn't be destroyed. Because that shocked us, just like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Destroying the luchos shocked us into returning, into correcting. Same thing as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And that reminded us that God's still with us. Because if he wasn't with us and he wanted to destroy us, then the luchos wouldn't have been broken, we would have been broken. The Beis HaMikdash wouldn't have been destroyed, we would have been destroyed. So by seeing the destruction, the breaking of the luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Jewish people a feeling that God's still with you. He didn't abandon you. Because if he did, there's no purpose of breaking the luchos, the purpose is to break you. So the breaking of the luchos took the place of being able to see God's presence visibly, but now you could see it in your mind's eye because you understood that God didn't abandon you. Because if he did, then the luchos wouldn't be broken, you'd be broken. The Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed, you would be destroyed. That's why by the Mishkan, in the end of Shmos, it says, La'enei kol Beis Yisrael. In the eyes of the whole house of the Jewish people. Whereas by the Shviras Haluchos, it just says, La'enei kol Yisrael, in the eyes of the Jewish people, not the house. Because one's referring when we are together in our house, Geula. And the other one's returning when we're not in our house, just the Jewish people. It's not the household of the Jewish people, because we're in Galus, we're outside of our house, we're in exile. And this is the concept of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. Right? That the idea of seeing God's presence, what does it accomplish? You see that cloud there all the time. What did it? First of all, it gave the Jewish people a feeling of importance. God feels we're important enough to dwell amongst us, not the rest of the nations of the world. Gave us a feeling of self-pride, self-importance. And that gave us a feeling of responsibility. If God considers us so important and he dwells amongst us, then we have tremendous responsibility. And our behavior has to be fit God's being amongst us. And I constantly looking forward to God that everything I do should be done, l'shem shamayim, should be done for God's sake, for God's honor. So all of those things are included in seeing that cloud in front of you and knowing that all your attention is directed towards the fact that God's presence is amongst you. That's the same focus in a negative way that happens when the luchos were broken. God is still amongst you. He doesn't want to destroy you. But he's not going to be visibly there with you until you correct yourself. So get working on making that your focal point. The Beis HaMikdash is gone, but now we have a focus to get it back. And we're focused on God's presence that's hidden amongst us, but still here. It's not destroying us. And therefore, sometimes you can come to feel God's presence from it being there, and sometimes from feeling that what's missing, but knowing that it potentially it's still there. You haven't lost it. It's potentially there. And that's the most shigal nafshi. I won't cast you out. I won't be disgusted with you. I'll still be there. But hidden. And you're going to have to correct things to bring it back to its visible situation. Based on all of this, I was thinking of tying together the last sentences in all the five books of the Torah. That there's a pattern. And it brings out this lesson. How so? The first book is the book of creation, which means that in order to reach that level of redemption, you first have to go through Tzaras. They had to go through the Shibur of Mitzrayim, which was called Kur HaBarzel. It's like the smelting furnace. You had to go through all the tzoris to finally get to perfection. So the first book of the Torah ends with Vayishen bi'aron b'Mitzrayim. Yosef was buried in a casket in Mitzrayim. He wasn't taken out like Yaakov was. He was left there as a security. When you'll be taken out, you take me out too. Yosef basically promised the brothers there's going to be a geula. All of this is not an end in itself, all these sorrows. It's a means to reach an end. And ultimately, there'll be a geula, there'll be a redemption. And this is what leads up to it. And therefore, leave my body amongst you as a security that one day you're going to go out, you'll take me with you. I'm not leaving now, I'm staying with you. Because I'm sure that one day you're going to leave and you're going to take me with you. So the first book of the Torah ends with the idea that all the tzaras and all the difficulties are a means to reach an end. They're not an end in itself. That's the first thing. And now the next book is the book of redemption. Now what is the end? The end is when God's presence will constantly be there day and night, visibly to the whole world, that God is amongst us. So we have the end of the first book is the idea of Golus being a means to an end, and the end of the second book is, what is that end? And now we have the Maisa. So how does it work? We know now what the process is, the beginning and the end. What's the myth? The next book ends Eila HaMitzvos B'chukosai ends Eila HaMitzvos Asher Tziba Adonai Es Moshe B'nei Yisrael B'har Sinai. These are the mitzvos that God commanded the Jewish people on Har Sinai. Bamidbar ends very similar pasuk Eila HaMitzvos V'Mishpatim Asher Tziba Adonai B'yad Moshe B'nei Yisrael B'Arvos Moav Al-Yardin Yerech. These are the mitzvos that God gave in Arvos Moav. Two revelations of mitzvos, one on Har Sinai, one on Arvos Moav. Har Sinai represented Gilui Shchina. God revealed himself on Har Sinai, his presence descended, and that was the mitzvah, the Torah that was given at Har Sinai, Gilui Shchina. And then God regave the Torah, remade a bris with us at Arvos Moav, except there it wasn't so much the God's presence that was felt, but it was the arevus, the interdependency, the interresponsibility of the Jewish people one for the other. Arvos Moav can be read Arevus Me'av. We're all responsible because we have to come from the same Father. So we're all interrelated. So we're all responsible for each other. And in Arvos Moav we accepted that responsibility for every Jew, for every other Jew. And the truth is that these are the two hallmarks of the two Beit Batei Mikdash. This is God's presence amongst the Jewish people can be felt in two ways. One, by having God directly with us. That was the first Beis HaMikdash, where God's presence was felt. The first Beis HaMikdash existed because of God's presence, and that's why it was destroyed, because we desecrated God's presence with Tumah, with Gilui Arayos, immorality, Shlichus Damim, murder and idolatry. Those things push away God's presence. The Mikdash was based on God's presence, and it was God's presence was pushed away. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The second Beis HaMikdash, God's presence wasn't there so visibly. The main holiness of the second Beis HaMikdash, says the Maral, was the unity of the Jewish people. We were united. And that's what made the Beis HaMikdash. That's how you felt God. You could feel God by seeing his presence or by feeling his presence, because the unity of the Jewish people represents the unity of God. And therefore the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed when we broke that unity. Sinas Chinam. When we had senseless hatred and we didn't have unity anymore. So that destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, the way of feeling God's presence, whether you have a Beis HaMikdash or you don't, is two ways. One is through the Torah. The continuity of the Torah throughout the generations is a way of feeling God's presence, because God's presence is in the Torah. God's mind, God's will is the Torah. So when you learn Torah, then you have God's presence with you. And the second way is by keeping the mitzvahs and uniting the Jewish people. So those are the two ways that, whether we are in Eretz Israel or in Golus, those are the two ways to continue on the feeling of God's presence, sometimes visibly and sometimes not. And therefore, the end of the Torah is that Moshe Rabbeinu saw to it, that even when we're not going to be able to be in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be in Golos. We're going to still be able to feel God's presence almost visibly, to feel it within us that it's visible. Le'enei kol Yisrael, when we understand that the luchos were broken, we weren't broken. Breaking the luchos and the eyes of the Jewish people gave them that same feeling that God didn't abandon them, as they had when they saw the cloud visibly on the Mishkan. Except here it was in a negative way, here it was in a very positive way. And that's why we say, Moshe Rabbeinu says that when we're strong, we strengthen God. Kibiyachol, God is like a shadow. He moves with us, right? When we're strong, then God, Kibiyachol, is strong in being able to send his influence to the world. When we're weak, his influence is weakened, because he only sends his influence if we deserve it. So when we're strong, we deserve it. So God sends his influence. We strengthen God. That's why Moshe said, "Be'ata yigdal no koach Hashem." If you're not, if you're going to destroy these people, right? Then you're weakening yourself. So God's strength should be strengthened by forgiving them and letting them know that you're still amongst them. And that is the La'enei kol Yisrael, letting them feel in all situations that you're with them. So that's the case. We know why. So Moshe Rabbeinu strengthened God by breaking the luchos, because he shocked the Jewish people into realizing that they still have a goal, and because they weren't destroyed and the luchos were, God's still with them. So it strengthened them, and that strengthens God. So what do we say when we say these ends of all these things? All these things are there to strengthen the Jewish people in all situations, to remember that God never abandons us. So we're basically strengthening God. So what did God say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Yashir kochacha, give you a yashir koach, you strengthen me, give you some strength. And what do we say when we finish these things? Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. Either chazak, chazak, whether it's the chazak of the visible presence of God in good times, or the chazak of the hidden presence of God in bad times, v'nis chazek, both of them lead that we should be strengthened. Or the chazak of doing the mitzvahs and learning Torah and in that way feeling God's presence, and the chazak of the unity of the Jewish people that comes from Torah, and in that way feeling God's presence, the nischazek, through both of them, ultimately we will be strengthened, and finally, the final chizik will come when ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion, when we will be able to see again, eye to eye, we'll see visibly, and the world will see visibly, that God's presence exists amongst the Jewish people.